I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
And a man is who I am. I am an...
That's too high, darling. I did say that.
Good morning. Good morning, my darlings. Here I am. What a wonderful morning it is, that time of the day where the world starts to wake up, your whole body becomes alive, reminds itself we're here on this planet, as are all the trees and other people and all the wonderful animals out there, and your cells burst with that sort of wonderful, sunny, new day, and then a sort of low-level anxiety creeps in, doesn't it? And you'll start to feel, oh, well, hang on a minute, what about X, Y, and indeed Z? And you'll start to think, oh, God, oh, what about all the things happening in the world? And oh, God, I'm older. When did I become older? Oh, dear. Oh, God, I thought I was still about 20. Oh, fuck, I'm old. God, and then Sue Clinch or someone is in the bed next to you and you think, how did they get in there and what are they eating, for God's sake? That doesn't even look like food. Then you start to shiver and shake and feel all is wrong with the world, and you look at your phone. God, don't look at your phone, darling. And then you start to panic. Oh, God, it's morning, it's a new day. Ah, oh, God, I can't even remember what my babies look like. Do you know what I mean? That sort of low-level anxiety that sometimes creeps in. So I don't know if it's morning for you. If it is, great. If it's not, you've probably got some sort of anxiety going on. Let's face it, the whole planet is racked with it right now, and quite rightly, because it's a very anxious time. But I like to think that this little podcast you're tuning into right now will help with that. Maybe not the bit I just did, because that, if anything, probably made you feel significantly worse. But from now, it's going to really cheer you up. So yes, hello, my darlings, I guess is what I'm saying in a very roundabout sort of way. Welcome to the first episode of Series 3 of my podcast. Now, originally it was called I Am Anna Man, which some people suggested was a little narcissistic. And we've changed it to Talking to Actors with Anna Man, because that sort of tells you what it actually is, as opposed to just sort of, here I am and this is my name. We want to bump up the listeners, I won't lie. And someone suggested that, you know, if you don't know what it is, you might not listen to it, which I think is absolute gush. But anyway, there you go. And then I chat about my life, who I am, where I'm from, Anna Man, actress, singer, Uber driver, briefly, not anymore. I won't go into it, but let's just say that whole company is an absolute pack of hyenas. They really are. And there's a lot of liars out there, you know. I mean, mainly me. I lied about being able to drive, which got me in some real hot water, actually. I'd done it in so many films and so on that I just thought I knew, you know. I mean, it looked obvious, but then I forget, obviously, you've got the screen behind you with the road. You can chat away to the person next to you willy-nilly, which I did, you know, without looking at the road, sometimes through a good monologue. And, of course, in real life, it's not quite like that. And every day I pinch myself and go, remember, Anna, this is real life. It's not, you're not acting now, but when you've done it as long as I have, the line between acting and not acting becomes very, very vague and easily crossed. And, well, nobody died, technically. So, here we are, the relaunch of the podcast. It's great. it's great for me recently because I've had a bit of work, which is, I know, fucking mind-blowing. I've been working. I've been making a little bit of money, or more money than usual anyway, which is real novelty for me, I have to say. 99% of all actors are unemployed for 99% of the time. And a lot of the 1% who do work are actually just dicking about bullying the makeup girls, you know. So the actual amount of acting that gets done is barely even visible. I hope you don't mind. I am eating a little bit of muesli with some bananas and grapes, one fat strawberry, and a couple of eggs. Oh, that's disgusting. Oh, God. I would spit it out, but I think that'd make it worse, wouldn't it, somehow? So, this podcast is all about chatting to actors, trying to understand, you know, where they come from, the point of them, why they bother. We are now with the Great Big Owl Company, which is a wonderful sort of comedy podcast. You know, they put out all the comedy podcasts on Acast. We are a podcast. You know what? I don't understand any of this. I just speak into a microphone. I press record. Normally I press record first, but there have been occasions that have led to a rather cracked screen, shall we say. But no, the Great Big Owl are hosting it. I think that's what it means. I don't know. Anyway, they explained it to me. Lovely chap, Joel, was chatting about it, but I won't lie, I instantly started thinking about Cadbury's new dark milk. I don't know if you've tried that. Fuck, it's incredible. It really is. You can eat a bar in seconds and still want more. And that wasn't an ad, by the way. I'm obsessed with it. Come on, Anna, swallow this muesli. Oh, it's not going down. It's gone down. Anyway, I said, Great Big Owl, cut the shit. I don't care. Will it make me any money? And they say, possibly eventually in a few years. And I said, well, that sounds like every job I've ever had, so let's do it. So it's a chance for me to catch up with some of my acting pals, old and new, hear a bit about their history, what made them sacrifice every atom of their being in the nuclear white heat of the theatre, if you like. What's their process? What's that achingly precious and incredibly powerful force that chips away at their souls like Michelangelo chipping away at David, and also whether they've done any telly. Now, if you're new to this, and if you are, you may well be wondering what the fuck is going on, then let's just say you've really taken a punt here. Let's not lie. Well, I am an actress myself, as I say. I've been in quite a few things over the years. I appeared in Prime Suspect 12, I think it was, where I had a very gripping scene. I was a villain and I forcibly blew Helen Mirren's nose, which was quite a moment, and blew a lot of the viewers' minds. I also popped up in Luther, if you remember this character. T? No? Okay. And I've been in so many other things, darling, so many wonderful plays. Oh my God, I've been in Girl Down Them Docks. A gripping piece all about a girl who keeps going down to the docks. Not a lot else happened, unfortunately, but it was very moving. It really was. Within the podcast, we're going to talk about various things that are happening in the world, in my life. So first up, what has Anna been up to this week? Well, I'm doing very well. You know, I'm doing all right. I've been making a little bit of money. And it's a strange feeling. You think it's great, you really do. I realise I said feeling there rather than feeling. That's because I come from Nottingham, I won't lie, and I've always struggled to put in my thz. You know those? Thz. Thor, god of thunder, all that stuff. It tends to come out for, god of thunder. And, you know, so anyway, you'll think it's great making this money, having this work, because you've longed for some sort of actual recognition for so long. But as with the anxiety, you know, it creeps in, doesn't it? It's all about anxiety, this episode. Within seconds, you'll realise that actually, oh, fuck! Oh, God, this means I've got something to lose. You start to panic, don't you? God, I've got this, I've got that, you know, but what if it ends? And I've got some money, there's some money in my banks, but as soon as the money comes in, you look at it and you go, oh, God, look at that. Look at that big, fat figure, you know, £200, something like that. But immediately it starts going out, fuck, because your overdraft's well into 4,000. And suddenly Sue's banging on your door, demanding money for that boomerang that you made her buy you. And, you know, mother's screaming for money. Ah, you need to give me my money back. I need to pay for my own headstone, all this sort of crazy stuff that whatever's going through her mind at the minute. And you can't sleep, you know, you scream, I can't take it, it's my money, it's my money, mine! But if you can't keep that money coming back in, before you know it, you're back in Sue Clincher's house, knee-deep in her Kellogg's Crave pit. She has a pit full of Kellogg's Crave. She just likes to dive in and swim around it every now and again. It's not nice to see. You thought me eating muesli was bad. Wait till you see that, darling. Anyway, you're in there desperately trying to find where she's hidden your keys this time so you can go home. The mad old so-and-so. I guess you just have to sort of go, all right, I've got some money now. Try not to spend it all at once. But it's so hard. I mean, you'll be walking down Portobello Road. You'll see some sort of porcelain mask. You'll say, how much is that? They'll say, £2,000. And you'll go, well, that's a lot. I mean, it looks like it's worth about 20 quid, but should I do it? Fuck, hang on, let's think about this. Rent, right? That's coming out in a couple of weeks. Bills, don't know, someone else probably does that. Yes, I think I've got it. And you'll give them the money, you know, and then obviously next day you regret it deeply. So all I'm saying is, now, I realise I sound ungrateful, but what I'm saying is it's great having work and having money, but at the same time, it's strangely, strangely terrifying. So, back to the podcast. Are any of you still with us? Scream if so. Okay, I heard you. Don't worry. Audition Watch. This is a new feature I'm putting in. Audition Watch. I haven't got a jingle for it yet, but I will. So, this week, Anna is on a solid 2 auditions. Ooh. I went in for a short film, horror, called Bin. It was all about a lady stuck in a bin for literally days. I went in for it. They had the bin there, and they said, all right, come on then, jump in the bin. I said, what? They said, come on, get in the bin. I mean, we were just outside. The audition was literally outside a KFC. I said, well, I mean, how are you going to see the audition, you know? They said, well, just get in the bin and we'll see. I said, well, where's the camera? Where's the lighting? Where's the crew? Where's the woman who brings me sandwiches and stuff? Oh, no, it's short film. It's you know, it's a very modern idea. Basically, you'll take the camera in with you and just film yourself in the bin. I said, well, fuck this. Are you serious? Anyway, obviously, I didn't get that one. Went in for an advert, a new kind of chicken thing. A new kind of chicken thing called a, God, what was it called? I've got it written down here. What was it called? It was called a feathery chick burger. The idea being that the burger is still sort of alive. It's a chicken thing, and it's still sort of half alive, and you have to sort of kill it, pluck it, and then eat it. It's very clever. It's incredible how they do these things. Why you would want to, I don't know. But anyway, so a chicory, a feathery chick burger or chicory feath burger. It's one of the two. Anyway, I heard about this audition from Sue, you know. I said to my agent, I said, darling, why am I not going in for this? She said, oh, I turned you down. I just assumed you wouldn't want to do it because you're vegan. I said, for God's sake, I only say that. I don't actually mean it. Are you mad? Of course I'm not actually vegan, not when there's money involved. You know, it's funny, back in the day, when you were at drama school, I call it drama school, it was more of a sort of hostage situation on both sides, you know, they'd say, darling, you realise you might have to do an advert at some point, you know, I mean, obviously we all just want to work in theatre and film and television, but at times it may get a little lean, famine or feast, darling, famine or feast, and you may need to get... you may need to appear in an advert, which obviously none of us really want to do. And we all scoffed. You know, darling, we'll never do an advert. Come on, we're going to be in theatre for life, you know. But now, as I approach 60, I think I would probably almost definitely do an ad for the NRA if it paid enough. When I say enough, I mean literally any amount of money. Anyway, I was in this advert. They had one of these feathery chick burgers or chicory feather burgers. And I took a bite of this thing and I said, oh, my God, that's rancid. Absolutely rancid. I mean, it was fucking moving, you know. Anyway, I haven't heard back. I pretended to enjoy it. You know, it's like Sue Clinch pretending she's happy. You can only fake it so much, you know. And I hate those actors who say, oh, I can't fake it. You know, they'll be in a scene and they'll go, darling, I can't fake it. I can't fake it. And I think of, darling, you're pretending you're on a spaceship. What do you mean you can't fake it? Quick update on Mother. Ugh, some of you may know we've had a very troubled history together. You may have read the autobiography, Mummy Wouldn't Let Me Go on the Log Flume. And then, of course, the sequel, Mummy Did Let Me Go on the Log Flume, but then she pushed me off. It's her birthday next week. Ugh, it always seems to be her bloody birthday. Anyway, Anna, it's my birthday. I said, yes, darling, I know. It's all over the calendar. She said, I know what I want for my birthday. I said, what is it? She said, she wants a picture frame. A picture frame. I said, darling, why do you want a picture frame? She said, so I can put all the family, photos of all the family. I want to have all the family on me. And I said, yes, but you fucking hate them all. You hate all of them. She said, yes, I want to put it up and then scratch out their eyes. You know, you get the idea of the sort of woman we're talking about. Okay, so that is the start of the podcast so far. I think it's going very well. What about you? Scream if you love it. Thank you.
I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Raisai.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends and dancing.
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful.
Great Big Owl. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now I think it's time to jump into our main event, the interview. This week, we're very, very lucky to have the wonderful Emily Atack. God, she's wonderful. She really is so much fun. Such a lovely person. She's one of the hottest young British actors about right now. She recently came second in that celebrity thing that you all love. She's appeared in CBBC's Almost Never, playing an actual mum. She hosted ITV2's Single Town, and she's just finishing a tour of her own one-woman show, which did very well. Sell out, darling. Talk 30 to me. And she's still not actually fucking 30. Unbelievable. Now, if I was Sue Clinch, every cell in my body would be throbbing with jealousy and heat rash. Heat rash because she got stuck on a boat near Clee Forks for 2 days and it got very hot. Don't ask. It wasn't nice. But actually, that jealousy would soon disappear like a lovely smelling vape, as even Sue's hard and frighteningly quite grey heart would melt with just a few minutes in Emily's company. I met up with her in her hotel. I pretended to be room service. It was the only way I could get in.
Talking to actors, trying to understand their process. We're talking to actors. Actors, yeah, they rule the world.
Hello, darling. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Look at you. Look at you.
Look at me. Look at you.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, you look amazing.
But thank you. Really?
Have you had your eye done?
Have I had my eyes done?
Yeah, like something.
Oh, I've had a bit taken off and then a little bit added on, if you know what I mean. A bit off there and a bit, you know.
Well, I'm going through a phase of
just
needing
shifting
to take
it around. Oh, you haven't taken anything off, have
you? Oh, no. Well, no, I wish I could,
no,
you know.
Your perfection. What would you take off?
My arse.
You're all... You what?
My
your
arse. Yeah.
All of it?
All of it, yeah.
Oh, God. Well, you've got to leave some.
Mm.
I don't... I mean, you've got to be careful as well who you let take off your arse, because there's some very... No, seriously, there's some dodgy characters out there who advertise... I've seen it happen. My best friend, Sue Clinch, I saw it happen to her. She went, oh, no, I've got to get rid of my arse. It's horrible. You know, and she went to this backstreet arse guy and got, I mean, the state of her now.
She looks like a giant S or something. I don't know what's happened to her. Anyway, let's not let Sue Clinch hijack this like she has my whole life.
Cheers.
Cheers, darling.
Cheers, I've got your coffee there.
A coffee for me. Yeah. Very fragile plates. I feel like I'm going to smash it.
Well, I feel like I've gone up in the world a bit. I've gone a bit diva.
Oh, God.
I thought I'd go full diva vibes for the tea and coffee.
We're so high up. I'm getting dizzy. We're in Emily's... So I'm with Emily Attack. Attack. You say Attack.
ATAC.
You say ATAC.
ATAC.
Fuck, I'm so common. It's unbelievable. It really is. ATAC. And that's such a good name, you know, to get you out into the world, isn't it? And that's your own name.
It's a frightening name.
It's a strong, powerful. Do you look in the mirror and go, Emily, ATAC.
Well, everybody at
school. Get out there.
It was a... Bastards. And also, the name ATAC, unfortunately, it's a really good name for headlines in newspapers.
It's been used in a... there's going to be a lot of rattling and chinkling. Yeah. chunkling. So newspapers used... Emily on the attack.
Oh, well, I remember there was one headline once where I was walking out of a bar, as you do.
Like attack.
Yeah, stumbling around. And I there was a taxi that was about to run over my foot and it was backing up into my foot. So I quickly patted my hand on the window and a pap got me... it looked like I was whacking this taxi window. And there was this big picture of me smacking this cab window and the headline was, Attack Attacks a Taxi.
Attack, attacks, a taxi.
It's mad, isn't it?
You should release that as a single.
Yeah.
Attack, a taxi down the Old Kent Road, something like that. I thought you were just going to say you sort of tried to move the car with your hand. You were drunk and you were just sort of trying to push it.
Like Superman.
Like Superwoman.
Superwoman.
Super lady. Anyway, Emily, it's lovely. Thank you for agreeing to chat to me today.
No
it's
worries.
Wonderful to see you. You look wonderful. You've been out running, almost running. You put on your running gear.
Yes.
Can I say this?
Yes.
Because it's very... it made me laugh. You put on your running gear. You took a selfie of yourself ready to run.
Yeah.
And then you thought, no, fuck that. I'm going back upstairs. But the selfie's there. And that's so your personal trainer can see it on Instagram.
Well, now he's going to know what I did.
He probably doesn't listen to this, to be fair.
Oh, dear. I know. It's really bad.
We can edit that out if you
want.
I think that's the funniest and most brilliant thing I've ever heard.
Don't you find that when you have gym gear on, you instantly feel like you've lost a stone?
Oh, God. And you know, sometimes I do.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so tight.
Yeah.
It's like a shrunken head, you know, like voodoo.
I feel if I'm in my gym gear... I'll spring around more and do more things.
Yeah, you bounce around.
Yeah.
Gonna get a coffee.
Everything becomes an exercise.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does. It's like exercising, isn't it? I love that. So here we are in Belfast. You're filming at the minute at a CBBC show, Almost Never.
Mm.
Yes.
Yes.
Where you play...
Mother of two boys. Yes.
And, I mean, that's very good. It's very... incredible that you can play someone a lot older than yourself.
Well, have you ever done that?
Oh God, yes. When I was seven, I was playing 70. I did my first Lear at 14. It was incredible. You remember, child prodigy as Lear, and people were looking at me going, "Fuck, how old is that lady?" You know, it was female and a 14-year-old, and it was brilliant. I mean, I couldn't remember any of the words.
You're just so versatile.
But we didn't need the words. That's the thing with Shakespeare. I always find Bill Shakes, love him. You don't always need the words. So it's not really about the words.
No.
It's more about the sort of shouting, and the makeup. You know, But so is this the oldest you played?
I think it is, I recently played a PE teacher in a film.
Oh, how old were they?
I mean, with a PE teacher, you can kind of be a bit younger, can't you? But the thing that breaks my heart, and I'm sure you'll feel this too, is that we can no longer play the schoolgirls and the sexy little...
We can try.
Yeah. And I'm no longer being cast as the sexy little schoolgirls. I'm being cast as the PE teachers and the mums.
Because you started being the sexy schoolgirls.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be... Couldn't you? I don't know. I'd be wary of anyone coming up to you and going, do you want to play a sexy schoolgirl in this thing?
Weird.
It'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd do it because I need the work, but you don't. If anyone asks you that, you go, fuck off. I'm living in the clouds. I'm drinking tea from a diamond cup.
It's very posh tea, isn't it?
God. You can do voices. Can you do an older person? Would you like to play an old lady?
Well, I almost think of the Queen when
wonderful.
Kind of talk like that.
That's
a little
very
bit.
Nice.
My mother does the Queen. Maybe it's a bit higher than that. I don't know.
This is... No, that's not it. That's not it. That was an entertainment.
Is she a bit higher than that?
Yes,
Charles.
Oh, isn't no. It?
No.
It's all very nasal. And
no.
Very
it's got a bit Disney Pixar.
Have you met the Queen?
No, I've never met
I
the Queen.
I think you're on track.
I think I'm meeting a Queen right now.
Haven't you got a podcast with her later, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're
Queen's coming on.
You're WhatsApping the Queen.
Isn't she coming on this after me?
Well, hopefully. I'm trying to get her. I'm doing my best. But she, her people are awful. They really are. Getting past
Andrew's
them.
A bit tied up. So.
Yes, he really is. God. Again. Come on. Oh. Enough. You think he'd learned his lesson by now. I but know. No. Straight back in the dungeon. Bless him. Don't bless him.
He's don't bless him.
Almost definitely an awful man.
He's a wrong'un.
A wrong'un. But a royal wrong'un.
A royal wrong'un.
Let's hear the Emily Atack story, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
So right now, right now you're doing what? You were the Queen of the Jungle. Is that official title?
Well, Princess, we're calling
you. You were the Princess.
Yeah,
okay.
Harry Redknapp was the King.
He was the King. Do you receive any sort of crown or...
I got a princess crown.
You did get a princess crown.
I did, but
wonderful.
I thought it was a bit embarrassing wearing it because I didn't actually win the show.
Well, how often were you meant to wear it?
Well, like it was just for the pictures afterwards and things. I couldn't take it home with me because it had too many kind of thorns in it and it kept pricking me.
A crown of thorns?
Yeah, it was weird.
Like Jesus.
Yeah, it's odd.
Oh, that's bizarre.
So princess of the jungle.
Princess of the jungle and of Britain, the people's princess.
That's
Princess Diana, but you know, soon.
Similar.
Yeah. So what, the Emily Atack story, born, presumably.
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, I was born, yes.
How did you... how was that?
I was born in Luton, so not good.
Do you remember any of it?
I don't remember the birth.
No.
I remember my sister being born. Yeah.
You remember your sister being born?
I remember my sister being born, and I was only 20 months old, and that is the truth.
You didn't see her being born?
Didn't see her being born. I just remember it happening.
So where were you?
I was in the back of a car. Yeah, my grandma Doris was in the back with me.
Oh.
And my dad had pulled over and he was having some road rage with a really scary man.
Oh, gosh. Do you remember
that? And
he was having
a fight
really,
in the street with this bloke, yeah.
Oh, God.
And I can just remember. I remember
on
this
the
scary
way to
bloke.
The hospital?
Yeah. And I remember dad. This man had this big moustache. And I remember. I honestly remember it.
Was
That's
he grabbing him by the moustache and tugging it?
Yeah.
And going, listen here, you. I've got to get...
You so-and-so.
God, that's the worst thing that could happen on the way to the birth. And then you saw your sister...
I don't remember any of that, no.
My,
apparently, my birth was a bit dramatic. My mum nearly died having me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're the first.
Yes, I'm the eldest, yeah.
But it's all right.
You've
got through it.
Oh, yeah, God.
Bless you. Thank God you're all here. You're here, bouncing, lovely baby.
Yeah, just about.
And then you grew up.
Yes.
Gradually.
Yes.
Took a while.
Yes. I still feel like I am growing up. I still feel like a teenager.
But you've got youth. You've got energy, vitality, all that stuff. And then you got into acting. So that's what the show's about, talking to actors.
Yes.
And did you always want to do that?
Yeah, it was inevitable, really. I was one of those kids. Boxing Day, when I was really young, I was about sort of six or seven. And I had this alter ego character called Lola Red. And I had a red cloak. And I'd go around, and my game was Boxing Day. my sister would come downstairs and go, right, Emily. I know she would have been too young. My mum would have come downstairs and said, right, Emily's coming down in a minute. Everyone needs to sit down in about 5 minutes. And she's going to come and she's going to sign everyone's autographs. Fine. So I would come in, everyone would have to clap at me, and I would have to sign everyone's autographs.
Here comes as Lola Red.
As Lola Red in my cloak.
And what was Lola Red like?
She was fabulous.
Oh, wow.
Red, all of Mum's red lipstick on, some slightly inappropriate heels.
Lola
I think
red.
One day...
Did she have a voice?
No. She didn't need to speak to the people. It was just her presence that was...
So for you, was it all about... And I don't mean this in a bad way, but it was all about the star.
Oh,
the fame.
At first.
The glamour.
Yeah, totally.
God.
When I was little. Because I remember everybody admiring my mum. My mum was quite famous when I was young. And I remember...
She is.
Yes.
She's Kate.
Yeah,
Robbins,
Kate Robbins. And I remember once, my dad is Bonnie Tyler's guitarist. And I remember when we were really young, we were on tour with dad. And Bonnie and Mum were sat in this bar one evening after one of Bonnie's gigs. And we were just kind of sat with them. And everybody kept coming over and asking for pictures of my mum and Bonnie Tyler. And I said to Mum, and I'll never forget it, she had a fag on the go. Glammed to the nines in her leather, head to toe. And I said, Mum, why is everybody... taking pictures of you and Bonnie, and she went, because we're famous, darling. And I remember that so clearly. And from there, I just thought, oh, okay.
It's famous.
It was just, it was, well, it's when you look at your parents, some people look at their dads and they go, oh, my dad's a plumber, so I'm just going to follow in the family footsteps.
Yes.
It was a similar thing for me, only that my family were in the entertainment world. So it was just inevitable for me. I wanted to be like my mum.
That was the family business. You were keeping it going. Because I came from nowhere. You know, I didn't even realise I was acting for years.
Natural
I was
talent.
In a wonderful play called Dinner for Two. I popped up in it. I was playing the waitress, but I didn't realise. I went for the job and I thought it was actually being a waitress. And there were all these people watching us, and I thought, and then, you know, I kept getting applauded and stuff. And then a few weeks into it, they said, you know, you're in a play, don't you? And I went, oh, fuck, that makes so much more sense. Now here I am, you see. And then from there, funnily enough, I've never been as good since.
Oh,
once I realised
was that like
was
your
acting,
big break?
That was my big break. You know, that was the first and probably the last time out I really...
It's a strange old game, though, isn't
it? It's a funny one, isn't it? You've got Emily, because you're younger than me, bless you. Obviously, a lot younger than me. You've got to keep your enjoyment of it going. You know, don't let all the shit pull you down. All the little trappings. It must get tiresome.
Yeah, and it's just so not as glamorous as everybody thinks it is. Really? You know, there's the glamorous side, but then there's the, you know.
Sometimes you're in a trailer and it's just full of flies.
Yeah.
You know, because someone's left the bin there for 6 weeks, not emptied it. And then, you know, and you're there.
You're eating out of plastic tubs.
A lot of it's just, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah.
I'm sat here. I've got nothing. Thank God for Instagram.
Yeah.
It's the actor's tool, isn't it?
Are you on Instagram?
Yes, I've just started.
How do you find it?
Oh, I love it when I remember to talk. I often do little chats from my dressing room, which is often a toilet.
Mm.
But, you know, and some people will come in while I'm filming myself. But it's a bit of fun, you know.
You do it whilst you're on the toilet?
No, God, no, I'm not an animal. I do it, you know. But my dressing room is a toilet, a lot of
yes.
my gigs.
Yeah, know. Yeah.
But there you go. Nice. Yes, so you Lola Red.
Lola Red.
Was created from nothing.
Sounds like a drag name.
It does a bit, yes, Lola Red. I'm Lola Red, out of my way.
Lola Red, and I'd have mum's lipstick on and big heels.
Some sort of scarf.
Oh, do you know what I did once? And I thought, I've overdone it now. I put one of mum's bras on.
Oh.
And my mum's got very large breasts. And I came down, it was just all frightfully inappropriate. And mum just had to hurry me upstairs.
No,
yeah.
No, darling. No, we don't do that.
No,
that's too much.
I just didn't understand. I thought, well, it's just part of the outfit. And then instead, she agreed on letting me put a pair of tights on my head. So I had two long black sort of legs hanging from my head. So it was like I had long black hair.
So it became sort of experimental art theatre.
Yeah, totally.
Love that. 2 feet just dangling on the side of your
face.
That could have become a trend.
Fashion week.
Maybe we should try that again.
Mm.
Sticking on our legs, on our head. One more time now. So then you got into acting proper at school.
Yeah, no, when I left school, I went to a very normal school. Mm. And then
comprehensive.
I was very naughty, and I didn't really get many GCSEs, but I got one A in drama.
You don't
so.
Need them when you're wonderful.
No.
You don't. There's not a GCSE for being fabulous, is there?
That's a good point.
Because if there is, you get an A star.
Oh, thank you. So I got my A in drama. So I thought, okay, I can't be too bad.
You're good at that.
And then I was very lucky because my mum's agent sort of came forward and said, well, I'll take you on the condition, you know, I'm going to send you on to some castings, and if you get good feedback, I'll take you on permanently.
This is at 16.
Yeah,
so
16.
Oh God.
Yeah, and then so he signed me, and then I think I was about to turn 17, and he sent me off for my first ever casting, which was for Blue Murder. Do you remember Blue Murder? ITV.
Blue Murder.
Caroline Quentin.
Oh.
It was like ITV
was it
crime
drama,
yeah. And I went up for the guest lead in one of the episodes, and his exact words were to me, you know, nobody ever gets their first audition. It's just unheard of. But if you get good feedback, you know, good, I'll send you to another casting. And I got that job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then
nobody ever gets
the
first audition, except me, darling.
Except
that's
me.
What you said. Well done.
Yeah. And then from there,
who did you play? What did you play?
I played a girl called Kelly Lang, which she was a footballer's sort of girlfriend type. She was like a suspect in the murder.
So she was a bit older. You're already playing this?
I was already playing a sort of 18, 19-year-old.
Your range is wonderful. You can go up, you can go down.
Oh,
it's incredible.
Thanks.
So she was playing, yes. And what was her name again? Abby
Kelly,
Lang?
Kelly Lang.
Kelly Lang.
My first ever character. Kelly Lang's taught like that.
Oh, wow. Now, when do you create a character, what do you do? How do you go about it? Do you just look at it and it starts coming in your head straight away?
Yeah, I have to say I'm not one of these actors that really overthinks it, and I don't sit there making notes. I don't.
It's visceral. It's but you don't think you act. Yeah. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I can't. I just do it.
Yes. And get up and take your clothes off and depending on the audition.
I've done a lot of that.
Yes, I mean you've got to sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
No, but you see that Kelly Lang. You'll get a picture in your head and you'll just step into
her. I just knew straight away, you know, you get
do
the character.
Do you see her and you'll step into her sort of thing? Or do
I guess so.
Yeah.
And I just become that person. It's my version of it. So if you go to an audition and you do your version of the brief they've given you, if they don't like it, that's nothing on you. That's just not what they're looking for.
Because you've created, and I think it's better to that. It's better to just go in and just fucking shut something at them.
Yeah. And
do you like this?
Yeah.
And for me, it's off. I won't lie, it's often a no. But, you know, but just to go in and just chuck it out.
Yeah,
and
do you know, casting directors...
Come on,
have
it then, rather than, you know, this humble sort of, well, what
definitely.
Are you looking for?
Casting directors, one of the main things they say is commit to the decision that you've made.
Yep.
And if you've made that decision, that is what you think the character is, you have to commit.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Anna, you've decided to wear a full bee costume. It doesn't relate to the part, you know, it's Desdemona, but still, fuck it. Go in there, you won't get the part, but they'll remember you.
Yeah.
They'll remember you as that mad old woman who wore a bee costume completely appropriately. But at least you made made your stamp, didn't you? You made your stamp?
Yeah.
So let's make it a phrase.
Made your sting.
Made your stung.
You stung them all.
You stung them. With your tail. I love that. You know, apparently, someone was telling me today the wasps are everywhere. Have you noticed this?
Oh, yeah, they're vile, aren't they?
Someone told me why. They're vile. They're awful. Vile. They're like critics. Fuck off, wasp. You're vile. What do you want? Well, what they want is apparently the queen mum of the wasps have kicked all the young wasps out.
Oh.
At this point in the year. This man was telling me this.
Well, it's like the actual royal family, isn't it?
Is that what they do?
I feel like all the youngsters are now
kicked. Well, because they keep going. Because they keep doing horrific things.
Yes.
I mean, it's fair enough.
Yeah.
God. No, but apparently the queen wasp gets to a point where she goes, right, I've had your reason for being here, which was to prepare my nest and to defend me. I've had enough of you. Go. And then the men are kicked out of this wasp, this hive. Queen wasp goes and builds a new one, and they just go nuts.
Oh.
This is apparently what happens.
Is this true?
Yes, so all the male nuts come out, all the male wasps have come out of this, have been thrown out of the hive. So it's like it's like a man who's been dumped.
Oh my God. I was going to say,
it's like a man and all his brothers
have been dumped. It sounds like familiar situations.
It does, and then they go out into the town and just fucking sting everyone. Apparently that's what happens until they die.
They get their wing over.
So these wasps are going around. I always thought, you know, oh no, leave them. They won't sting you if you just ignore them. But no, these guys are out for blood.
Oh.
They're like, right. They're like you know those incels. Have you heard of this?
Just spurs
them
on.
Have you heard that word incel?
Yes.
It's involuntary celibate. So it's these sort of men who are like angry at the world and women because they can't get a girlfriend because they're, you know, pricks, let's be honest. And so but these—that's what these wasps are. They're angry at the world.
So they're just going around stinging
them a queen. Yeah, until they die, for about a week, then they die.
Oh my God.
Now I've got no proof of any of this, but it sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh my God!
What a tale.
That'd make a good play.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Would we be dressed as... Finally, I'd get the bee costume out.
Yes, get the bee costume.
Maybe slim it down a bit to be a wasp, because they're a little bit... It's a bit bumbly bee at the minute. Slim it down a bit and give a bit more aggressive character. Finally, we'll get... Right, we'll do that, Emily.
Yes.
We'll do that. If you're not... I know you're very busy, but see if you can block out a couple of months.
I've actually played a bee before. I played a Vodafone bee in the Vodafone adverts.
Oh, wow.
I played a bee.
What kind of a bee?
Was it
an actual real bee or
she was a
person dressed as a bee?
It was an animation bee.
Oh,
no, what was no?
Just
it's
your
like
voice.
It's sort of animation, sort of. It's like a weird graphic bee.
Mm.
And I remember I was with two other actors that played the other two male bees,
right.
And they were taking it so seriously. They were like, Yeah, so is this bee angry? Has he just, you know, what's my motivation here? I'm like, it's a bee. It's a fucking bee.
But I love that about you. Yeah. So like, it's fucking Kelly Lang. Yeah. We all know her.
Yeah, it's like, wag.
Don't think about it, darling.
Yeah, just it's don't think about bee. It. Yeah. A bee's a bee.
One of my darling friends from my Amdram group who was in a little show, and I wanted him to jump out as a gorilla. This is true. So I put him in a onesie. I said, right, we'll just jump out and make someone jump. It made sense in the context, you know, an audience member was on stage and a gorilla attacked him. But he sort of went, so this gorilla, is it like a, does the man know he's a gorilla?
Oh, God.
Or does, is the gorilla, is it, and then he started doing this sort of anti-circus, you know, the kind of, I said, darling, please stop. Just go rah.
Oh.
And I think sometimes you have to do that, don't you? You have to pull back and go, what am I doing? You're 14, you're not King Lear.
Yes, yes. I often think this about Pennywise in It as the clown. The clown gets so much praise for his acting.
Yes.
He's just been a fucking murdering clown. Quite easy, really.
In the new one.
Well, yeah.
But then the 90s one with Tim Curry.
Oh, God, he was terrible.
I mean, that was a performance. But the new one, it just feels like a cartoon.
Yeah, it's too cartoony. The old one, it's more real, isn't it? And it is an actual
performance. The old one, there's an attitude and a character there.
Yeah, totally.
He's terrifying.
In this one, it's gone so comical now. It just looks like an animation. It looks.
Did you see the second one?
I haven't seen the second one yet. I've seen the first one.
Apparently it's not so great.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
James McAvoy's in it, isn't he?
I know, and he's wonderful. I loved his Mr. Tumnus.
Who's Mr. Tumnus in
Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You don't remember that? No. He was Mr. Tumnus.
He lives in Crouch End. He lives where I live.
Oh, does
James
he?
McAvoy.
Oh, you're in Crouch
goes
End.
Goes to the same gym.
In Crouch End.
Yeah.
Oh, the which one? Oh, we don't want people to hear that, do we? We want people to know what gym you go to, for God's sake.
We don't want people to know what gym I don't go to.
Yeah, we don't want people It's the television.
I get dressed up for the gym. Yeah. We've all...
No, you don't make a habit of that. I want to point out. Emily just did it once. She got out to the streets, thought, I'll go for a run. And then she looked out. It was a bit dreary.
Yeah.
A bit grim. And she thought, fuck this.
I did go and buy some perfume.
Oh, well, that's an exercise.
I bought perfume and a cardigan and a top.
Oh, well, there you go. Lovely. Yeah. What kind of cardigan?
It's a really nice woolly grey one. It's down there somewhere.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
God, I couldn't...
Just something for the airport.
Oh, lovely.
It's an airport cardigan.
Yes, to keep you warm. Yeah. Gosh, you darling. So I've got to go to yoga in 5 minutes.
Oh, do you?
It's gone quick, hasn't
yoga?
It? I'm doing a bit of yoga later. I have to do yoga. I used to do it. This awful woman, Leslie, absolute fascist. She barred me for snoring. She was horrendous. But I found a lovely one here in Belfast called Flo.
Oh, that sounds very yoga-y.
Alex something, American woman. Oh, she's got a sense of humour as well. There we were.
Oh, good.
All in our downward dog. She said, take your block and you can sit on the block or you can just shove it up your ass. And I thought, well, that's fun, isn't
fun,
it?
Fun, very fun.
Adding a bit of, you've got to have a USP with yoga these days. 100%. You've got to have a hook. And hers is shoving stuff up your
shove
ass.
Shove it up your ass.
Just to give it.
Yeah.
If you can, I mean, you know, if you can shove it up there, do it. That's the
Should I do it now?
Do it, fuck's sake. No, darling, what we're talking about, I've got minutes. That's so rude of me, isn't it? Oh, God, I've got to go now.
Oh, it's fine, I understand
yoga. You can only talk for so long before you get tired.
I totally understand. It's been so lovely to talk to you.
It's been lovely to chat to you. Yeah. I've got a few more. I've got 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we did Lola Red, bang. Kelly Lang, bang. Then where? Then it was The In-Betweeners?
And The In-Betweeners. Wow. Charlotte Hinchcliffe, a.k.a. Charlotte Big Jugs.
Charlotte Big Jugs.
I now call myself Charlotte Average Jugs nowadays. You know, I'm tripping over them.
What you're tripping
I'm
over
tripping
them?
Tripping over my tits.
That means they're bigger, doesn't it?
Oh, they're saggier. They're
oh, no.
Low. Oh, love.
Oh, God, but that's
yeah,
just
I can
age.
Fold them in half.
That just happens.
I can fold them in half. I can. I can suck my own nipples.
Couldn't you put a bit of super glue in? No, this is awful. What am I saying? But Charlotte, that was a breakthrough role for you. And you
it
got
was.
That. You told me you walked straight in there.
Yeah.
And you went, I know this is my job.
Yes.
I know this person.
Well, I was so naive to it all. I didn't know by this point. I still didn't understand audition etiquette. Mm. You don't go in there and go, I am perfect for this role. There's no one better out there than me. But I did.
Yeah, well, you say you don't go in there and do that, but then you did go in there and
I
do
did.
That.
I was
and
fearless.
You got the role.
I was totally fearless. I was young, fearless, and I needed to feed me and my sister who were living in a dingy little flat on
yes,
our own.
Yes, we haven't even said that. So you have this amazing story of just going out there. Mm. Obviously, you had the background. You know,
I had to
so
buy bog
like...
roll as well. You know, I had to buy toilet roll.
Not easy.
No, so when you 16. Have to put food on the table and wipe your ass,
yes,
you really do. You really are fierce.
No one's going to wipe your ass for you. Ooh. Yet. Now, obviously, oh, they do now, you've yeah. got a team of people in the next room waiting to do it. But back then, it was you.
Yeah.
If you didn't wipe your ass,
it'd be very shitty.
Yes, for days. And I've been there. I know what it's like. But no, so you, I love that. So you bravely set out in the world. I know what I'm going to be. I know I've done Lola Red. This was post Kelly Lang.
Yes.
I've done Kelly Lang. I know I can fucking do this. Mm-hmm. A star in drama. I love that attitude.
Yeah.
But would you suggest, so to young actresses, because you're a role model now, people look up to you, as they should, because you're brilliant.
Oh, that's funny.
Would you say to them to do that?
I wouldn't say do that. I would say go with your gut and what you think. So I didn't know if... the reason why I don't do that anymore is because I know that's not the etiquette, but because I didn't know that that wasn't the etiquette. So I think what charmed them was the naivety of it and just the fact that they could tell that I hadn't been doing this
but
for a long time.
That character had to be, was a tough, knew herself and you know, she's fucking living life.
But I think it's because I wasn't faking it. I wasn't pretending because I was genuinely just like, this part is perfect for me.
Could you imagine a lot of people would try perfectly. And put that thing on, wouldn't they?
Oh, totally.
And not be able
they
to
can
hit
tell,
it,
they
sort
spot
of
the fakes, I think. You can go in there and pretend you have this really big kind of ego and confidence, but I think if it's genuine, that you genuinely just think that you are right for that role and that you don't know that what you're saying is actually a bit inappropriate for an audition, they could just tell that I was so new to it all and I was just like, oh yeah, I'm perfect for this.
And after that, did you try it again and it go wrong? No. You try going in and going, look, give me this. So what did you actually say? You
said, I remember saying, I read the scene and then at the end, just sort of on my way out, I said, by the way, guys, I love this part so much. There is nobody out there that can do this part better than me.
You said it on the way out?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I said, and I thought, oh, sorry, I'm just going to say it. And I said, I love this role so much and I would give anything for this. And there is nobody out there who, number one, wants it more than me. And number two, who can do it better than me. That Charlotte Hinchcliffe is made for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Said. How amazing that is.
And that day, this was on like the third audition, I think. And then that day I got told I got the part.
Oh, fab.
Yeah.
So you almost had that moment of, you've got the part, kid.
Well, because I said it, and then I remember their faces just going, thank you, Emily, thanks. Yeah. Thank you. And I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
What's your most embarrassing? Can you think of the most embarrassing loads. Audition?
Oh, the classic when you... Well, I just did it then. You spit on someone's laptop.
Yeah.
You spit in their face accidentally.
Oh,
or if you... You go to shake their hand, you shake their wrist, or you go to shake their hand, you stand on their foot on the way out. Or I once walked out and I realised that my entire, I had this blouse on and all my buttons were undone by my boobs. Got the part, so.
You did get the part.
So
you did advice, that for every audition afterwards.
Yeah, but my advice to anyone would not be go in there with your tits out.
Don't go in with your tits out.
I don't know.
So there's no real thing you could say.
No.
Just go with your
gut. Okay, people ask me this a lot. They say, you know, what advice would you give people? Just be polite, go in prepared, and do your best. That phrase, do your best, is a phrase for a reason. It's so cliche, but if you just do the best you can and you prepare, that is literally all you can do.
So it's not looking at what they...
No.
Not what you think they want.
No.
What you think
It's your
is
version.
Right. I know this is good.
It's your version.
Take
and
it or leave it.
You
yeah.
go in there politely, show them what you have created with something they've given you. Mm. If it comes off, that means the part is made for you. If it doesn't, it just means it's not made for you.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
Just keep going.
That's why I've always known... to deal with rejection. I'm fine with rejection.
Been fine with rejection?
Yeah, always. There have been certain jobs I'm like, oh my God, I so wanted that. But I'm upset about it for about 2 minutes, then I'm over it.
Sometimes you get those days, don't you, where you get like hit. And
yeah.
You get like three.
Yeah,
no,
shit.
No, no,
yeah, shit. Know. It is shit.
Yeah.
But you just have to. But then when
I had seven once.
Oh, really?
Seven no's in a row. I mean, it was all the same job. I just kept ringing them back and saying, are you sure, darling? Because I really felt in that audition like you were going to give it to me.
Yeah.
And no. So then I phoned back again as a pretending to be a different person.
Yeah.
Saying, I think you should give Anna Man that job, you know. pretending to be, you know, I think it was...
Did they get the police on you in the end?
I think it was David Suchet. They did. Well, they got... they yeah, they got the acting police. I don't feel been visited by them, but they're a rough bunch. And they really get me a drubbing. They really get me a, you know, a telling off.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Well, that was, yeah, I mean, talk about embarrassing.
Seven no's in 7 minutes. You sure I haven't got it? No. You sure I haven't got it? No. Sure. Give me the fucking part. You know. Oh, and it was only one line.
Oh, God. Oh, love.
So after the in-betweeners, you've done lots of bits and bobs and things and stuff. And then the last year, you did, I remember you did the wonderful Instagram thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you did the jungle.
I got to an age where the, you know, my body shape is different now. I can't be on the front page of FHM anymore. I got to the point where the roles that I was getting before, I was no longer getting because I'm in a limbo age of 28, 29, where it's very hard to place you. I don't quite look convincing enough to play a detective, and I'm also not convincing enough to play a schoolgirl. So what happens in these kinds of years, my agent did sort of say this, he said this is the hardest age for actors because no one can place you anywhere. So I thought, do you know what, right, fuck it, I'm gonna flip everything on its head now and do something completely different. I'm gonna write my own show, I'm gonna do everything now for myself, because I've done all the roles that other people have written.
Yeah,
I've done all that. Now I'm going into the next phase of my career.
Yeah,
in my 30s, where I want to do everything, I want to do things I've written.
That's so
and
good.
Show the world, you know, who I am as a person, as me, rather than it's, again, it's like, characters.
Like you going into that,
yeah,
that Charlotte audition.
Yeah, it's now
you're
it's
saying
phase
that
two.
To the world. You're now saying,
yeah,
well, look, here I am. Mm-hmm. This is what I, you know.
I feel like I've sort of made my stomp, like made my bee sting in the you know, in the industry, where people know enough who I am now to listen to me and take me seriously. So I thought, right, okay, I'm going to go into the next phase of it now and start writing my own things and allowing people to see who I am as a person now, rather than just Charlotte Titties.
And you've got the play, the show,
yeah,
Talk 30 to Me, one woman which has show. Gone down wonderfully, and you're doing some extra...
Will you come to the...
I will, show? Yes, November. Definitely, you're doing some extra dates.
Yeah.
And you've got a book, is that announced? Mm-hmm. Do people know that?
Yeah, got my book.
And Singletown is out. Mm-hmm. And other things, which probably aren't announced, but it's just on.
It's so exciting, yeah. I'm very lucky.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Emily.
Thank
lovely
you.
To see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was lovely Emily Atack. Not just lovely, actually. They always say that, don't they, when you talk about a female actress. Oh, here's the lovely Emily. Well, she's not just lovely. She's fierce, she's powerful, she's strong. Anyway, so we're coming to the end of this week's podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it, my darlings. The first of hopefully many. We're going to be coming back every Wednesday. Please listen out for us. Thank you to the Great Big Owl for whatever it is they do. I still don't get it. And, of course, to Dan for his help with editing, and the people of Belfast, who I've been staying with recently, who are really, really quite lovely, except some of the taxi drivers, but we won't go into that right now. Now, please remember, you must subscribe to this if you can, if you know what that means. Some people have asked, Anna, you keep asking me to subscribe. I don't know what it means. I think it just means click subscribe, darling, bless you. Ugh. You must also like this and review it. I think it's only on iTunes, maybe, you can like and review. I don't know. I honestly don't understand any of this. I'm 60, bless you. Look out for me on Facebook. Buck? Fuck. Facebook. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Animan Actress. I'm all over that shit nowadays. I'm going to be flogging some copies of my show, Sketch Show for Depressives, which some people have been asking, where can I find this? Where can I see it? Well, darling, don't worry, because if you go onto Animan Actress on Facebook, I'm going to be setting up a little bit of shopage there when I finally get fucking time. I talked earlier about having things finally, getting stuff, and then worrying about it. And I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the news at the minute about Brexit. You might have heard about this. It's a terrifying prospect to me, I won't lie. I'm not going to go into why, but it is. And one thing I've really buy into, and some of you may disagree heartily, I do think the whole thing is a massive fucking con on you, the British people. Some of you might not even be British, but still a con on the world, really. Because I really do believe that it comes down to these awful, awful oligarchical, posh, Etonian, I know, but you know the sorts, your Jacob Rees-Mogg's, your Boris Johnson's, all that gang. And I do believe it's all about this whole tax thing. the EU were about to make it impossible or at least difficult to have tax havens. And all these people are tied into all these fuckers. I know I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I believe it's true. And they are doing you one up the arse, you know, and it's just to make them money. These odious, odious billionaires. But I can understand. I was like, ah, it's my money. You can't have it, Sue. I don't care if I broke your French windows playing hopscotch Jenga drunk. I don't want you to take it. Do you see what I mean? I don't want you to have it. It's mine. So I can sort of understand why they completely ruin everything just to make sure they can hold on to their cash, even though it means nothing, you know, because ultimately everyone just thinks you're an arsehole, you know. You can hold on to all the money you like, but as they say, you can't take it with you, and everyone just thinks you're a prick, and that's not really winning, is it? Is it? No. My final message, I think it's best to appreciate what you have. I know it sounds like a cliche, but feel gratitude. I've never been able to do this, really. I've never really felt that grateful. If I did, Mum would get the cattle rod out to try and teach me a lesson, you know. She used to say, you get what you kill for in this life. That was her motto. You don't get anything unless you kill it first, which, interestingly enough, was the slogan for the feathery chick burgers. I have struggled to try and understand gratitude. I am a narcissist, let's not deny it. But I was very inspired by Emily. She understands gratitude. She talks about it a lot. And I've decided to try and do a lovely thing. This is what Emily does, this, is try and write down three things that I'm grateful for every day. And you can do this too. I'm a week in, 5 days rather. So here we go. So day one, these are all the things I'm grateful for. Day one, my arms, yes, my leg, my ability to summon forth the very fire of my being and put it on the stage. Bit long. Day two, headphones. Dancing like tomorrow will never come, but if it does, you can be sure the air I walk on will be electric. And Emmerdale. Sue's massive pies, delicious with the custard. My daughter, her money, /car, /ability to drive. Day four, cups. We don't talk about cups enough, do we? We really don't. Which led me to cupping, the ancient medieval art, which I do think works, and crapping. Crapping, just crapping in the toilet. Bit lewd, but if it comes out right, it's an absolute godsend, especially if you've been gorging on Sue Clinch's massive pie. Day five, my tongue. My tongue, it's riddled with taste buds. I've got so many taste buds. I actually have the most taste buds in showbiz, little fact for you. Gin, obviously. And finally, you, my people, my fans, my listeners. Dare I say it, my fans, I already said it. But, you know, you're what makes all this worth it. And yogurt, and oranges, and the little town of Chichester, and festivals, and fun.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Doesn't matter that my late night call. Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Great Big Owl.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.